Good morning. Welcome to Dayton Mennonite. Her song is Lion of Judah.
You're the Lion of Judah, the Lamb who was slain. You ascended to heaven and evermore will reign. At the end of the age when the earth you reclaim, you will gather the nations before you. And the eyes of all men will be fixed on the Lamb who was crucified. With wisdom and mercy and justice you'll reign at your Father's side. And the angels will cry, Hail the Lamb, who was slain for the world, full in power. And the earth will reply, You shall reign as the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. There's a shield in our hand and a sword at our side. There's a fire in our spirits that cannot be denied. As the Father has told us, for these you have died, for the nations that gather before you. And the ears of all men need to hear of the Lamb.
Philippians 2:9, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The name of Jesus means so many things and will mean so many things. It refers us to one who is a conqueror, who is a lion, and who is also a lamb. And this next song is a newer song, so if you don't know it, but it's called No Sweeter Name. It talks about the sweetness of the name of Jesus. So we'd like to sing it this morning. If you don't know it, just worship along with us.
There's no sweeter name than Jesus. I have tasted, I have seen. Nothing better than his presence, a friend when I'm in need. There's no sweeter name than Jesus. The Savior of my soul. no sweeter name than Jesus. I have tasted, I have seen nothing better than his presence, a friend when I'm in
good and gracious King.
You may be seated.
Good morning and welcome in the name of Jesus, who is truly our good and gracious King. That happens to be one of my favorite praise songs, so thank you guys for sharing it with us. And I woke up at 5:30 this morning to the sound of rain on the roof, and while some of you might be disappointed because we can't have a barn party tonight, those of us that are farmers were awfully thankful for the rain, so just want to praise God for a rainy day, and I hope it continues. For scripture reading, devotional this morning, I would like to read a number of verses from Revelation chapter 7. I'll be reading verses 9 through 17. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, praise and glory, wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in the white robes, who are they and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. And he will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." You know, this scripture is really a beautiful picture of the family of God. As I look around our congregation on a typical Sunday morning, I see not only people who have been here 25, 30 years, but I also see folks from Ukraine, Belarus, Iraq, Iran, Guatemala. This morning we have a brother from Pakistan. And you know, that's such a beautiful picture of Christ's kingdom. In Matthew 28, Jesus commanded his disciples, his followers, to go and to take the gospel to all nations, to preach, to teach, and to baptize. You know, we're so blessed today that we don't even have to go halfway around the world to do that. You know, the nations have literally come into our midst. And we have a beautiful, golden opportunity to share the love of Christ from people from all around the world. Because of modern communication, modern transportation, the nations are literally everywhere. You know, if you think about the early church, Peter, Paul, and the early disciples, followers of Jesus, they walked hundreds, if not thousands, of miles through some really nasty conditions to carry the gospel into places where people didn't know about Jesus. We can do that right here in our own neighborhood. And as our brother from Pakistan was sharing during Sunday school, we live in a very sheltered nation, very sheltered community, very sheltered church. But friends, as we look around the world today, our brothers and sisters in Christ are facing some severe persecution. You know, whether it's in India and Pakistan, whether it's in Iraq, Iran, whether it's in China, North Korea. Brother Willard just shared with me earlier in the week, there's an Iranian lady who has been in Turkey for a number of years. She was a worship leader, and she was just recently deported back to Iran, where she was immediately thrown in prison, and probably nothing good will come out of that. As our brother shared with us during Sunday school, we are on somewhat of an island. Our faith basically costs us nothing, but that is not reality. As we look around the world, there's a cost to following Jesus. And I would just like to go back and read a couple of the last verses that I read earlier, where it talks about those who have come out of the great tribulation. It says, they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. He who sits on the throne will spread his tent over them. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat upon them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe every tear away from their eyes. Certainly, for these people, for many Christians today, there is a serious cost. The least we can do is take every opportunity that God gives us to share the gospel, because basically it costs us nothing to do that. So let's remember today our brothers and sisters around the world who aren't so fortunate as we are. Our offering this morning is for Rosedale Bible College, and I'll invite the ushers to come forward. Let's pray together. God, this morning we thank you that we can meet to worship in total and complete freedom. And Lord, help us never, ever to take this wonderful opportunity for granted, but to realize that even as we worship here today, we have many Christian brothers and sisters around the world who are meeting in secret, who maybe can't meet at all, who are in prison, who some are even facing death sentences. Others have already lost family members who were executed because of their faith. We thank you this morning for Rosedale Bible College. We thank you for the opportunity that students from this church have to go there to learn and to study, to learn the scripture and other things. And we just pray, God, that you would abundantly bless Jeremy as he leads Rosedale Bible College, and bless all the students there as they begin a new year of study. And we ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.
In your Mennonite hymnal, please turn to number 558. My hope is built on nothing less. Number 558.
Oh,
thank you for sharing that offering. Well, it's my pleasure this morning to introduce our speaker, Emmanuel Dulot, from Columbus, Ohio. Emmanuel grew up in Pakistan, and he and his wife have a passion for ministry and outreach in his home country, planting churches and encouraging Christians there. So, Emmanuel, will you come up?
Thank you so much. Praise God.
God, I just thank you for my brother Emmanuel. I thank you for the worldwide body of Christ and how we can come together and fellowship and pray for each other. And I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come this morning and speak to us through our brother. I just pray against any attempts of the enemy to derail or to take away from what you would have us to hear this morning. Just bless our brother in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Praise God. Good morning, everybody. Once again, I'm so thankful to Pastor and the whole church for giving me this opportunity. It's a great honor for me. It's a great opportunity for me to be here once again. I was talking to my wife over the phone, and we were, you know, talking about the last trip, how wonderful it was, fellowship and everything. And we were bringing some memories. And thank you so much for having me again. She's missing so much to be here. She really wanted to be here, but her younger sister had some surgery and she needed her help in Florida, so she had to go to Florida to help her sister. So she was greeting to the church, so I pass her greeting. And English is my fourth language, for those who don't know. I need your little more attention to listen to me. My accent, the words, you know, can be a little hard, but I will try my best. Amen? So if we cooperate both, we will understand. You will understand me. But little more attention. I born in Pakistan, 1974. I grew up in Pakistan and married in Pakistan. I was sharing in the Sunday school that last time when we were here, our first prayer request was to pray for us to have baby. We have been married now 19 years. Last year it was 18. So we have been praying 18 years to have baby. We never stopped. And we have been asking our friends and partners, please continue pray for us, that God bless us with a baby. Last year, God answered the prayers. And now we have baby girl. She is 9 months now. She born last year. Praise God. After 18 years. So I want to encourage you, to those brothers and sisters who have some prayer request and have not answered yet, never stop it. You know, the Bible tells us, Jesus gave the example, you know, for the woman who keep coming to the judge, right? And keep asking for the justice. So consistency in your prayer and continuity is very important. That shows your faith, your love, your belief in God. Because when we start prayer and on the middle or sometime we stop it, it's mean now our faith is getting low. Our belief in God is getting low. So our spiritual life is, you know, getting slow. We have to be continue, keep praying, whatever is your prayer request. Any kind of in your life. It can be finances, it can be education, it can be family problem, it can be anything. It can be your job, any prayer request that you have been praying and have not answered yet, continue pray. God is going to answer you for your prayers, because the Bible says, it's not like I am saying, the Bible says, Jesus said, you ask and you will be given. You knock and the door will be open. You seek and you will find it. It's a promise in the Bible. Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name and believe it, you will have it. But it's not on your time. It's not according to your will. It's on his time and according to his will. But our duty is to continue, have faith in God, continue, have trust in God, and continue, keep praying to him. Amen? We never stopped. 18 years it took to get answer. And now we are so glad for that. Praise God. Thank you for, as a church, that you prayed with us for this miracle, for to get this answer. Thank you, Lord. Today, I will share with you, message, but before that, I want to share with you a ministry report from Pakistan. The time is not too much that I have, but I will go a little faster for the prayer. Can I have like my PowerPoint, please? Is somebody here to help? Yes. Like ministry report. I don't know how many you have heard what happened in Pakistan. August 16th, on Wednesday, Muslims blamed to pastor's son that he spoke against Islam, which was accusation, which was blame. It was not true. Based on that, they announced, and the mobs, when I say mobs, different mobs, got together and they attacked in different directions and burnt in one day 25 Christian churches in one day. And more than 300 Christian homes, they burnt completely and destroyed everything. I would share some pictures with you. Brother, can I have those pictures? Yes. So we need your prayers for these brothers and sisters who have lost everything. Only the clothes they were wearing, that's what have. Because the mob, they left homes when they heard about all these things. They left homes. They hide themselves in friends' homes and in the fields. People slept in fields. And there are stories on Facebook later came for people who fainted over there because there was no water, no food, hot weather, and they fainted. Not the other one, please. The ministry report. Not this one, the other one. So we need prayers for those people, for those brothers and sisters. You know, the Bible says the church, whole church around the world, is the body of Christ. We are body of Christ. And we need prayer for that part of body. So until we get this there, the message today, which I'm going to share with you, here you go. Can we go to the, from the first slide? This is in the middle, from the first slide. Yes, this is first. Thank you so much. This is Pakistan, and have border with India, Afghanistan, China, and Iran. So many languages are spoken in Pakistan, different tribes, languages. This is what happened on August. And I will go fast because I want to share the word of God too. These are the churches and the homes were burnt. It didn't stop there. This is Christian family interviews on internet. On the right side, the first picture, the police arrested them. Christians home burnt and the Christians are arrested. So arrested them, and her interview, she is saying that after one day, they let the girl and mother go, but they still have the father in jail. So please pray for this family. The young boy in the middle, he fainted 3 times in the field because no water, no food, and he, you know, there was hot weather. You see, the third picture, the pastor in a red. After that happened, they burnt 25 churches and more than 300 homes. They came to this pastor's church and they wrote on his wall, his church wall, something about Islam to make a propaganda. But when the pastor saw, he was wise, so he put on Facebook Live and he said, look, this is what happened. This is another propaganda, so they can burn this church and this colony. When I say colony, there are different colonies in Pakistan, in big cities, where Christians live together. So police came. He called the police. Police, you know, washed away those things with a paint. But later, again they came to him and were forcing him to become Muslim. And his testimony, his talking is on internet, that they were forcing him to become a Muslim and he did not. And they tried to shoot him and he tried to save himself and the bullet went to his, you know, shoulders. You can see in one of the picture, he's in the hospital. So needs prayer. And this happened after that and other propaganda. You see the four pictures on the bottom. Every door has a lock. That's just last week. And other village, a woman start blaming that these people speaking against Islam and nobody did that. And she started doing this and she threat. She said, I'm going to do the same that we did in Jadawala. That's the first city they burnt. And the people locked their homes and they left. More than 200 homes, all streets, every single home is locked. And that video is also on internet. We need the prayers for all these things. Look what happened, what left after they burnt everything. Nothing left. These people have nothing, you know, and you can see all these in picture. You can Google, you can see on internet, more pictures, more videos about all this. You see their homes, they destroyed, toilet, you know, fans and kitchen, everything. Blankets, furniture, wearing clothes, every single thing, all the furniture, Bibles, books, kitchen pots, cycles, motorcycles, you name whatever you have at home, and they burnt them. These are some pictures. Last time when it happened, our team response and went there with the food, clothes, and all this support. And this is recent. Our team was over there to help them, giving them Bibles because there is no Bible. All Bibles are gone. So now we are planning to send them back in September to help these families, you know, to buy some stoves, to buy some kitchen parts like pans and glass and plates, all this, so they can have something to cook and to eat because there is nothing left. So we are raising funds for that. And if you see all these numbers, we are praying to adopt 100 families out of more than 300 families. And this is all detail. I don't want to spend time on detail. This is all here in the office. If anybody needs the detail, reach to Pastor, because it will take time, and I don't want to spend more time there. I want to share the word of God with you. To adopt one family is $1,504.50. So these are some old, when they destroy the churches, blast bombs in the churches, all these, you know. So I don't want to go all these. I just will go faster. This is in Thailand Christians. These are some mission trips. This brother was killed because he accepted Jesus Christ. This is also he accepted Jesus Christ. Then his brother, you see on big picture, he accepted Jesus Christ. His own wife killed him. So this is something you. So these are, every picture have stories. We are giving Bibles, books. Brother Joshua Walter was with me in Pakistan. And you see some of these pictures. They are sending me these reports. So these are their baptizing. So, you know, these are some tribes we are reaching in Pakistan. As in the beginning, you see, we have different tribes and languages in Pakistan. So, homeless people reaching homeless, helping them clothes and food. This is another tribe. We are reaching to them. Feeding people, church planting. These are orphanage homes and schools that we are running in Pakistan. All of them are on website. And my Facebook, if you want to helping pastors, helping families, evangelistic meetings, pastor trainings, these are some churches we are building in Pakistan, helping Brooklyn enslaved people. These are long stories. These are families we paid their debt off and released those families. These are families we release. These are Brooklyn slave people, and helping them, releasing them, feeding them. So this is our ministry in Pakistan is working as, you know, mission organization. So that's why we are involved in so different, kind of ministries. Audio Bibles, giving to the people who cannot read and write. Pastors, all these are pastors, these are Bibles. And now we are out of Bibles. These are old pictures. So this is a little bit about our ministry. But right now our focus is only 100 families who have lost everything. We have stopped everything else for about at least, 6 months. No evangelistic crusade, no pastor training, because all those things cost money. We want to use all that money to help these people to restart their life. So we need your financial support and prayer. And if you have any question later on, I will be at the back. And there are some papers will be available with my information. You can have it, and there will be a book you can sign if you want to get updates about what is going on, how we are helping them, and all these ministry, newsletter. So you can sign up there after that. And now I will come to the preaching part. I would like to read from the Bible, the book of Isaiah. From the Old Testament, chapter 6, verse 8. Book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verse 8. This is what the Bible says. verse 8. I'm going to read it. Then I heard the Lord asking, whom should I send as a messenger to the people? Who will go for us? And he said, yes. I said, here I am, send me. And he said, yes, go and say to these people, listen carefully, but do not understand, watch closely, but learn nothing. So I will take the only one part. And he said, yes, go and say to this. He's having vision, Isaiah, and he's talking about what he's watching in the vision. And God is saying, who should I send? Whom should I send as a messenger to these people, to the people? Who will go for us? And Isaiah is saying, I said, here I am, send me. That's the message. Here I am, send me. And the title for the message is like, what is your response to God? What is your response to God? Yes or no? That's the question and title. In your life, on different situations, different parts, different times, what is your response to God? Are you saying yes or no? Here, we say, Isaiah said, yes, I am here, send me. He said yes to God. But there are so many other prophets, so many God's people who said no to God. So many times we, in our lives, we say no to God. I have done this so many times. Sorry. The first thing when God, I was growing up, my parents told me, my father was a pastor, so they dedicated me for ministry. They told me that we want you to be a pastor, and immediately, without thinking anything, I said, no, I will never be a pastor. It's a long story. I don't have time for that. There is reason I said no. Because there is a reason to say yes or no. You don't say without reason yes or no. So I said no. And I kept saying no. I wanted something else. Professor, doctor, I was studying, you know. Then I got my degree in mathematics, bachelor, and then science computer, and master in English. So all these things, I wanted something different. I never wanted to be a preacher. I said no to God. My father's story is the same. When God called me my father, he said no to God. He said, I am not able to be a pastor because his education was under primary. Hardly he was able to write and read, but God was showing him dreams that he wants him to speak to the people. I wish I would have time to share those dreams. But his pastor helped him to understand those dreams, and he became a pastor, long story short. He said no, but became pastor. I said no, and now I'm preaching the gospel in the world. I have been in 15 countries for preaching, teaching, and training leaders. Be careful when you say no to God. It has a cost. When you say no to God, you have to go through something. You remember in the Old Testament, prophet Jonah, right? You remember that? God wanted him to go to Nanwa. Nanwa is Urdu. So English, you understand what is that, you know? So Nanwa. And he said, no. He went to the other city, right? He got other ship. What happened? Because he said no. So what happened on the way? In the middle of the ocean, there was a storm. Everything was destroying. And he is sleeping, right? He's sleeping. He said no, and he's sleeping. And people start throwing everything out of the, you know, into the ocean. So this ship can be light, and they can save their lives. And they start, Bible says, they start praying to their own gods, different gods, because there were different people. And the one who had said no to the true God, he was sleeping. Many times we say no to God, and we continue kept sleeping. And when we are sleeping, there is bad things going on around us. The people who are around us, maybe our family, maybe our brothers and sisters, maybe our friends, things are going bad around us. Around Jonah, everything was going bad, and he didn't know he was sleeping. And then they awoke him up. They said, why are you sleeping? We all are dying. Why don't you wake up and pray to your God? Maybe your God will answer. And he understood. He knew that he said no to God. Because of him saying no to God, all these things happened. And he told them. He confessed it. He said, throw me into the water and you will be saved. You know the rest of the story. He went and the fish came. Took him. Whatever the calling was in his life, the calling has to be done. He was chosen. He was chosen to go to Nineveh, to speak to the city, to tell the people that God wants you to repent and you will be saved. But he didn't want to go because he was thinking that there might be a risk for his life. Because the city was so bad. He didn't have that courage. He had a fear. Many times we have fear and we say no to God. And we know when he was there, still he's complaining. God took him there, but he took in another way. Right? Purpose didn't stop. When you are chosen for God's work, God will take his work, you will do his work, but then you have, if you say no, you have to go to some, you know, situations and some trials. So be careful when God is calling you and giving you any kind of, you know, job or work to do, and you're saying no. Be careful. We know Moses. When God spoke to Moses, what did he say? Was he okay? When God said, go there, no, he said, no. I cannot speak, so many reasons. But real thing in him was a fear. He had a fear that if I go there, I will be killed. Because he knew what he did and when he ran away. You know the story, right? So he said no to God. But God still used him because he was chosen one. He was the one God chose him to do that thing. But he has to go through the trials. Right? He was chosen one. And if you read about Jeremiah, first chapter, God is telling Jeremiah in verse 5, 6, 7, and 8, 9, that go to the people, I have chosen you to be a prophet. And Jeremiah is saying, no, God, I am too small to be a prophet. I don't have the knowledge to be a prophet. I cannot be prophet. You know why? Because those days, prophet used to be the voice of the God and take the message to the kings and the authorities. And there was a risk of being killed when you take the message if king doesn't like it. So there was risk. They didn't want to take risk. They didn't want to pay the cost to follow God, to say yes. But still there is a cost to say no too. So be careful. When you say yes, then there are God's promises with the blessings too. If you say yes to God, God will keep making the way for you. God is there for you to help in everything. If you need anything, like when I said yes to God, I told you I didn't want to be a pastor, and my father was not able to pay even my school fees. I would start working when I was in 10th grade, and I kept continue working. But when I said yes to God, he started doing his work in my life, and then I started traveling around the world. Every trip has huge testimony. I don't have time, but I have been in 15 countries, the person who couldn't pay his school fee, when I said yes to God. Ask God. He is calling you. And the question is, what is your response to God, yes or no? And still, maybe you're in the situation that God is continue telling you, and you are thinking, no, I cannot do it. Think about David. When the prophet came to anoint, you know, Jesse's children, and the father brought all of his children, and the prophet kept saying, no, 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 not this son, not this son, not this son. And the father even did not mention about David. Because why? Father was thinking, David is not able to do it. David has no qualification. David cannot make the requirements of to be, you know, king. But that was father's understanding about his son. That he didn't have the confidence on his son. And he didn't even mention to him. And the prophet had to ask him, do you have other son? Right? That tells you something. That the father didn't mention. That's why the prophet had to ask him, do you have any other son? And I believe and the father would be, oh yes, but he's in the fields. He's not able to be a king. God's selection is totally different. God is not looking at your qualification. God is not looking at your training. God is not looking at your abilities or skills, because he is the one who is going to put the skills in you. He is the one who is going to put the trainings in you. He is the one, because when God was speaking to the Jeremiah, and Jeremiah said, no, God, I cannot do it. I am too small to be a prophet. God said, go wherever I will send to you, go. And whatever you need to speak, I will put the word in your mouth. That's God's job. Your and my job is say to yes to God. If you have any fear, any scare that you don't have ability, you don't have qualification, you don't have training, don't worry about that. You don't have money, don't worry about that. My first speaking was in front of my own family. One day my father said, Emmanuel, I want you to share your testimony. Just my testimony. Believe me, 8 people were in front of me, and my legs were shivering. I couldn't stand. That's the truth. Literally, I couldn't stand. I didn't have the ability to stand in front of people. But when I said to God, he put that ability into me. And then I spoke. You can go online and Google my name, Pastor Emmanuel Dole speaking. Then later I spoke 10,000 people, 15,000 people in crusades at one time. When I said yes to God, he put that ability in me. I didn't have that. He put that qualification in me. I didn't have that. Don't look to yourself like David's father is looking to David. And when David came, God said, yes, this is the one I have chosen. Bless him, anoint him. And you know the rest of the story. So don't worry what you will say, wherever you will go, how the finances will come, how your training will come. Don't worry, just say yes to God and he will take care of that. If you are in any situation that you are still confused until today, today God is telling to you through the word of God that he wants you to say yes to God. Because you and God knows what is the situation. The time is going very fast. And then, if you see Acts chapter 9, verse 15, New Testament, Acts chapter 9, verse 15. I will go fast. I'm going to read. We must quickly carry out the task assigned us. Listen carefully again. We must quickly carry out. What is quickly? We should not be delayed, right? Quickly carry out the task, the job, the work that God has assigned us by the one who sent us. The night is coming, and then no one can work. Right? No one can work at night. What does night mean? I had a whole message on this verse. The night when I start thinking to preparing message, God put in my heart, what is the morning? What is the night? What? So it's like early morning is when the baby is born. Your childhood, your babyhood, then, you know, when there is a little bit light, then when you're a kid. And so this is how I start thinking about that. And when I come to the night is the last days of our life. Before we die, before we go to the night, enter into the night, God is telling us that I have sent you and I have chosen you to do some work. I have assigned you to do some work, so finish it quickly. Don't make it delay. Quickly. Through His word, God is talking to you today. Whatever the assignment God has given to you and assigned to you, He wants you to do quickly, faster. Don't make it delay. The time is almost over, but I just will read something more. If you see everything have cast. That was the other point. If we see Luke chapter 9 and verse 57 and onward, it tells you there is a cost to follow Jesus. I wish I would have time to go through to that. But there is a cost. And you see the cost to having faith in Jesus. You just see what happening in Pakistan. That's the cost. Following Jesus Christ, having faith in Him, lost everything. I was beaten 5 times in Pakistan when I was there. Every time it has a story. I'm writing a book, but sometimes because of traveling and other work, it's taking too long to finish the book. There will be my testimonies and the things. And the time is 11:05 already. I had the latest 11, so I already took even 5 minutes, more than the latest one. I wish I would have more time to make the points more clear. I am living in the middle, but I know the point is clear. Say yes or no to God. Whatever situation you are confused, don't choose no. Don't look at your qualification, your ability, your skill. God is going to, He already have chosen you. You know, I am going to finish on this. When Paul was there in the book of Acts, he had Jesus revealed to him and he loses his eyesight. And God told to the prophet, go pray for him. And he said no to God. He said, no, God, don't you know He is the one who is persecuting the body of Christ? He's persecuting and killing your followers? And Jesus told him, I have chosen him. He is the chosen one. Even though he was killing the Christians, but he was chosen one. Sometimes we judge the people in a wrong way. This prophet is judging Paul in a different way, what he's doing. But God knows the future because he chose you. Maybe this situation or the previous was totally opposite what God has chosen you for. He was killing the church, and future, he was the builder of church. Right? So don't judge based on your past what you have done, because God has total different in your future. When you say yes to God, he will use you. Then we know God used Paul, and Paul paid the price. Even in that story that Jesus said, I showed him that how much price he will pay and how much persecution he will go through because of my name. And he is the chosen one for the Gentiles and the Israel to preach the gospel. You are chosen one. God has chosen you. God knew you before you were born, because God told Isaiah, I knew you before you became into the womb of your mother. God knew each one of us, and he has planned for our lives. He has assigned something to everybody to do for his kingdom. We need to ask God, I'm here. Like Isaiah said, he said, I'm here, send me. Act like Isaiah, not like Jonah, not like Moses, not, you know, like the people who did know first, not like me, not like my father. You have time. Act like Isaiah. Say, yes, God, send me. God bless you. Thank you so much. And I will be at the back. If you have any question, you want to be, you know, in the list of receiving newsletter, and if you want to support to our this mission, information is there at the back, you can get from me. And we are raising funds. And in November, we are going back, but we are sending money in September to buy those things. And team will go and distribute those things. And then I will send those emails and reports to the email, you know, people who are in my list. If you want to be in the list, please come back and we can talk. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor. God bless you. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Emmanuel. Put that there before I spill it. If you would, please turn in your Zion's praises to number 44. Oh, worship the Lord, number 44. This is a really pretty hymn. It may be a little bit new to some of you. But sort of a walkthrough here. The first and second stanza, everyone's going to be together, bass, soprano, alto, and tenor, and then just soprano and alto on third and fourth stanza, and then everyone comes back in on the chorus. Please sing it with earnest, as it says up at the top. And another note here, you'll see a little bird's eye over the first note. That means we're just going to hold that out a smidge. So let's give it a go.
Thank you.
Very good. Please turn to number 497. Blessed Assurance, 497.
Jesus had some interesting words for a group of his followers. Luke 12:48. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much will be required. You know, we have all been given much. So many blessings, so many opportunities. What will each one of us say to Jesus? Will we say yes, or will we be like Jonah and run and hide and suffer the consequences? We have a number of announcements this morning. First one, before I forget it, I assume most of you got the email, but because of the rain, the forecast for rain this evening, the barn party at Jake and Gloria's has been called off and rescheduled for October 1, right, Mike? Prayer meeting this coming Wednesday evening, and again, the youth will graciously be providing child care, so come out and join us, pray for our church, our community, and the world around us. Garland, I believe you have an announcement.
This is my final announcement as this year's coordinator for the campout. We're called to seek what is lost, and some of you has lost some stuff, and you don't know it. And it's back there on the table. So go look. This is the last Sunday. If it's basically open to anybody at this point, if you see something back there that you can use, you can take it. So if you got something back there, you better grab it before somebody else does. If it's still there, we will take it to a thrift store. So please check the table. There are kids' shoes. There's nice casserole dish. There's thermoses. There's all kinds of stuff back there. So please look at the table.
Dayton yard sale. Are there any other announcements from the floor? Please come forward quickly if you have something. Okay, if not, that moves us into the time of our morning prayer and closing. Again, a number of things I'd like to note. Tomorrow evening, Carolyn Landis and Evie Wanger will be going into Rockingham County Jail to do the church service there. So let's remember them. And also, probably as most of you know by now, our brother Danny Beery was diagnosed with leukemia in the past week. Talked to Danny on the phone this morning before church, and he seemed to be in good spirits. He's undergoing some chemo. He's had to have a couple units of blood, and I believe he told me they will be doing a bone marrow scan September the 28th, and he said that's really about all I know at this point. Certainly a very serious diagnosis, and Danny, if you and Molly are watching this morning, just know that we love you and we're praying for you. Also, remember from last Sunday, we had the announcement and the ballots were handed out for our assistant pastor search. And I just would encourage each one of you to continue to pray about that and invite the Holy Spirit to guide us individually and collectively as a church. After hearing that sermon this morning, it's my prayer that someone was sitting here thinking, okay, God, I don't want to get swallowed by a whale. Okay, I invite you to stand as we pray together and close the service. God, it's been so good to be here this morning to fellowship, to worship together, and to hear from your word. And I just pray, Lord, that you would continue to speak truth into each one of our hearts. I pray, God, that we would be open to the call to come to serve and to follow you, that we wouldn't be like Jonah and run away and have to learn over and over again the hard way. We pray for our brother Danny this morning and his wife Molly. We just pray, God, that you would be merciful to Danny. We pray for healing in his body. Most of all, God, we just pray that you would be his constant comfort, that you would take away any fear or uncertainty, but that Danny and Molly would just know that you love them, that you care for them, and that you want what's best for them. We pray for the jail service tomorrow evening for Carolyn and Evie as they go into Rockingham County Jail. We also want to pray for Pastor Baker, the chaplain there, as he interacts with the inmates. And we just pray again, God, that you would be preparing the hearts and the minds of the inmates, the ladies who are signed up to go to that service tomorrow evening. And we just pray that you would speak truth into their hearts, that lives could be changed, that souls could be brought into your kingdom. We pray for Dayton Mennonite Church as we seek an assistant pastor, God. And again, we just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would be at work in our lives, in the life of the individual that you're calling to this position. And we just pray, God, for honesty and openness on all of our parts, that we would be open to the leading of your Spirit. Thank you, God, for our brother from Pakistan and his love for the people of his native nation. And we just pray, God, for wisdom and guidance for Brother Emmanuel and his ministry. We pray that you would provide the funds that are needed for these families that have been lost their homes, lost their churches, and in some cases even lost their lives. God, we thank you for the freedoms we enjoy here, and we just pray, God, that we would never take them for granted. We ask now that as we leave here, that you would bless us with your presence, that we would go and be the hands and feet of Jesus. We ask all this in his name. Amen. You're dismissed.